Let's hear the latest about sexual health in urgent care. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose and today we hear another talk originally given at the inaugural Urgent Care Bootcamp earlier this year. Dr. Rathi Rajasekaran is an urgent care physician and here she gives us an STI update relevant to urgent care practice.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Rathi. I'm going to be doing the STI talk, or basically managing STIs in an urgent care setting. So, a wee bit about the talk. I'm going to talk about the current STI trends, as well as touch base with history, examination, investigations, as well as the updates in treatment guidelines and the follow-up advice we should be giving our patients before they leave our consult room. Now, the STI trends, or the headlines of the STIs in New Zealand. At the moment, New Zealand has a syphilis epidemic. Over the years, the cases of syphilis has been steadily increasing, and this is for both men and women. Gonorrhea, all over the world, there's limited antimicrobial treatments due to the resistance. It's resistant to penicillin, tetracycline, as well as ciprofloxacillin. Chlamydia, the most commonest STI in New Zealand and in various parts of the world. There is an increase in reinfections. So what are we going to do? How can we help? First of all, a history. Besides looking at the symptoms, we are also looking at risk assessment. We are looking at where the risk of exposure to the patient. We are also looking at where these exposure sites will be and what samplings will be taking, and also looking at the exposure to their sexual context. Should they be tested? Should they be treated? But before all that, I should let you know, I mean, everyone knows taking a sexual history is a sensitive topic. So a few reminders or a few things to note. Avoid assumptions. Keep it as gender neutral as possible until we know otherwise. Avoid using terms like partners, because the definition of a partner for you might be different from the patient. So use terms like sexual contact. And patients who come in for a STI screen or who present with symptoms where it could be an STI infection, it's important to ask if they are safe. Did they consent to this? Because if they did not, then it takes us to a completely different history. Examinations. Everyone has their own way of going about their genital examinations for the females. Just a few points to note. Before you continue with a speculum examination, do a vulva vaginal nucleic acid amplification test for chlamydia and gonorrhea, plus minus for tricho as well. It's just basically in the entrance of the vulva vaginal, introduce the swab about thumb size, squirrel it 5 times, and you've taken that test, and then proceed with the bimanual and take a high vaginal swab if you need it. Always complete the exam with a bimanual examination. This is because pelvic inflammatory disease is a clinical diagnosis. It's lower abdominal pain or tenderness with either uterine, cervical, or adnexal tenderness. Oh. For the males, as we proceed with the genital examination, right after that, just ask them for a first void urine. That's the first 15 to 30 mils of urine, preferably one hour after the last void. If they can't wait or they can't give you, any sample will be better than no sample. Now, from the history, if you have noted, it's men who have sex with men. You need to take a rectal as well as an pharyngeal swab for gonorrhea and chlamydia, irrespective of whether they have used condoms and irrespective of the sexual practices. If they have symptoms or if they have told you that they have had anal intercourse, unprotected anal intercourse, or they complain of anorectal symptoms, you have to do an examination and take the necessary swabs. Syphilis and HIV serologies is now routine in an STI screen. Hepatitis A, B, and C, it depends on the risk factors, which we would have gained from the history. If you're not sure, in the handouts, I've given the resource for Hepatitis Foundation. They have the list of risk factors that we should be looking at and whether they should be tested for the serologies. Sorry about the photos. I'm glad that this talk is after lunch. All right. All right. Now, a few updates in terms of guidelines. Chlamydia, the first line is doxycycline. Second line is azithromycin. Why? It's higher efficacy, especially it targets again oral, rectal, as well as genital chlamydial infections. And therefore, this reduces rates of reinfection. It also avoids resistance of Mycoplasma genitalium, which is an important cause for persistent uteritis, cervicitis, as well as PID, where the treatment is azithromycin. Gonorrhea. Gonorrhea is a scary bug. The more I read, I'm like, oh, okay. So the current treatment regime is IM ceftriaxone 500 mg and azithromycin 1 gram. And this is basically to reduce the risk of antimicrobial resistance. This can be used for genital, rectal, and pharyngeal infections. Now, to also note, pharyngeal gonorrhea is at a rise in New Zealand, especially between in the groups of men who have sex with men. And this drug regime does cover or treat pharyngeal gonorrhea as well. Herpes. Herpes, now the first line is Wells acyclovir. Since 2016, special authority approval is not required anymore. It has a better dosing regime than acyclovir, and therefore that improves compliance as well. Another thing to note is that for the first episode of genital herpes infection, you do not apply the 72-hour herpes rule. You treat it. You think that it might be herpes, take a viral swab and treat it. For episodic and recurrent treatment, there are patients who can't get to the GPs or who are from overseas, and if they need a flare, just give them an extra set. So usually it's valacyclovir 500 mg BD for 3 days. I usually just give them standby at least another 2 courses so that they don't come back and then they're treated as well. The other STIs, I've spoken about them or written about them in the handout. The one that I want to emphasize is in syphilis. As I said, it's an epidemic. It's increasing. Previously it was thought that it was a high chance or a high risk in, especially in men who have sex with men, but now there is a steady increase and it's increasing rapidly in heterosexual males as well as females and females in the reproductive age group. And this has led to an increase in congenital syphilis. There's a few cases going on. So which is why it is now a routine when we do an STI screen. Now we have spoken about treatments. What are we going to tell our patients before they leave our consult room? Follow-up advice. So basically, start treatment and it should be abstain from sex or use condoms for 1 week since the initiation of treatment. This includes the patient as well as the sexual context. And condoms are not only, is also to be used for oral sex. And to inform all sexual contacts in the last 3 months, irrespective of whether they have used condoms or not, just inform. And test of cure. Test of cure should be done. It basically, they can present themselves to their GP practices or to family planning. It's usually they can do their own swabs by themselves as long as they don't have symptoms. Test of cure is in 3 months, a minimum is 6 weeks, and this is because it takes about 2 to 3 weeks for the cells to shed off and to be cleared from the body. All right, that's about it. Thank you. Oh, the other thing I just want to tell you, all this is based on the guidelines from the New Zealand Sexual Health Society, which is found in your handouts. All right, thanks.
In the show notes, there is a link to the New Zealand guidelines that Rathi mentions in her talk. If you have any comments, questions, corrections, or suggestions, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz or pop over to Facebook and comment there. Now, we'll be back next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening.